For the fans, by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show in association with Audio Boom. I'm Caroline Barker. Coming up this week, Non-League's been custard pie. A serious issue or just a bit of fun? We'll talk about the fallout from the now former Sutton keeper Wayne Shaw and speak to his manager Paul Doswell. Plus, Martin Allen gone at Eastleigh, Lincoln celebrating, and we're on the trophy trail. That's all coming up on the show. Let's bring in the team. You can hear them rustling in the background, so shush. We're all in different places this week, both spiritually, physically, and one of us, it sounds like, is sorting through his paperwork. Due to three unique pieces of string, we are attempting to twang together, never known to toe any line, a former manager at AFC Wimbledon and Hendon, and others, Dave Anderson.
Good evening.
Well done.
Are you shocked at a college short?
Yeah. And often known to tread on his own toes, PR man with Evo Stick and Rhyming Leagues, Dave Waters.
Good evening, good evening. I'm always getting introduced after Dave these days, by the way.
Do you know, you've turned into a right diva, Waters. Yeah. Oh. Do you know that?
Well, you know what? You have every reason to be a diva, Mr. Anderson, because I hear you've been pulling the balls this week.
Yes, I'm not going to joke about it. I was asked to do the FA Vars semi-final draw. At Wembley pitch side, with the chairman of the FA Vars, John, and I'm really chuffed. And it was a real sort of
honor,
real nice thing. An honor is the right word. Honor, yeah, lovely. Yeah,
I've got the hump about that now as well. They didn't ask me either.
Maybe there's always next time. Next time. Although we are running out of next times, given how close to the climax we are getting of the season as well. So you say it was an honour, Mr. Anderson. When you go back to those dusty old car parks where you started playing your football, the streets, did you ever think you'd be at Wembley pulling the balls?
Listen, it's funny. It's funny you keep saying pulling the balls, but that's another story. But it going back to when I was a kid, I used to play with Jimmy Quinn, another name drop, who went on to play for West Ham and Northern Ireland. And other clubs, and we used to play a game in Belfast, and we actually called it Wembley, and it was just weird standing pitch side thinking back to them hundreds of years ago that you would end up actually in the great stadium doing that. So yeah, no, I was really honoured.
Did it almost make up for not playing there? Almost.
Yeah. In fact, to be fair, I'd put it on my Facebook page about, you know, not every day you get asked to do the draw at Wembley. And John Mayne of obviously Wimbledon actually texted me, "You should try playing there." So he brought me right down to earth.
Very good, John. Did you didn't make any mistakes or anything? And was it live on Facebook like the previous round, Dave?
Yeah, it was. Really? I think it was live, and I know we didn't make any mistakes. One, not even a run through, Dave, just off the cuff.
True pro. I'm
not, well, here's the pressure. Can you remember the draw?
No. I was worried in case. The only thing I was worried about is if I pulled a ball and it was number five.
Yeah. So listen, Dave, are you the go-to man this season then for the Royal Box and co? I presume you may be alongside royalty.
No, I would say that, you know, to be fair, the way I've treated the FA over the years with my comments, I think that's as far as I'm going to get. But
yeah,
no,
I'm glad you made that point, because you have, you know, you've given them a hard time over the years.
No, I've only been honest, Dave. I've only said it, and to be fair, if it happens tomorrow, I'll say it again. But no, really nice, and just a real honour. And to be fair, don't get me wrong, and I mean this seriously, it was on behalf of the show, really. That's how I got to do it. So
was it? We didn't know anything about it. I'm kidding.
Did you publish it? Did you mention the show then on the Facebook live?
No, I wasn't allowed to.
Oh dear.
So he did it on behalf of the show. Bromsgrove Sporting up against Cleethorpes, Coleshill against South Shields, two-legged affairs, the 11th and the 18th of March. And the winners get $4,500 as well. So those are the FA Vars semi-draws.
Sorry, I think we kept the two big teams apart, you know, from going on the sort of semi-finals.
Yeah, well,
so that worked out well as well.
Not deliberately, of course. We're hopefully going to hear from the manager of Sutton, and we'll be off to Dulwich Hamlet to talk to their manager as well this week. But one manager on his way, Martin Allen, has been sacked by Eastleigh within hours of us recording this. Was that a heavy sigh, or was that someone just letting off steam generally?
And to be fair, I don't know what happened. Hogan the lame late, but Dave can come in a minute. But that is, it's absolutely insane. And I know his record hasn't been great, 2 wins in 14. But what do people, you know, my old quote, the microwave oven, Kaz, what do people expect? Surely you put someone in place and you go, well, you know, let's get it right. And if it takes this season to go into the next season, then fine. But why would you go to all that, you know, to get Martin away from Barnett, to do the deal, and then to say 2 months later that it's not right?
83 days in charge, 14 games in all competitions, winning only 2 of them. Sorry, Waters.
Well, and I was just going to say, Martin, you know, fair play to you. He's got a bit of a reputation, hasn't he? A bit of a character. Do you think there could have been a little, you know, apart from the record, I suppose, wasn't great, 2 wins, but could there be a possible falling out behind the scenes?
My guess, and this is an absolute guess, clocked from the sky, is that he's gone into a dressing room that aren't his players. I'm not sure of how many he got to bring in the window. And if you don't get the dressing room going with you, it's a very difficult place to be. But I would have hoped that the chairman would have sort of stuck with him to the summer and let him get his own players in. Now, that could be absolute pie in the sky. There could be a million other reasons, but that's the feel you get, that if it's ended this quickly, then obviously Martin hasn't got the lads to go his way with it, and the chairman's pulled the plug.
It's pressure. Guess. It's pressure to get out of that league, isn't it? It's pressure to get out of there. And yet they've gone for, you were saying, what is Richard Hill?
Richard Hill apparently has been, he's been made director of football, and he's been asked to sort of basically, and manager, I think. I think Dave knows a little bit more about it than me, but I think he's basically combining both roles, and he's caretaking effectively, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's probably that, you know, that of the information that's come out, that's what's being said. So nothing sort of shocks you in football. Well, you say that, but then everything shocks you in football. I just find it really, really strange. And I hope we can get Martin on next week, and or indeed someone from Eastleigh, the chairman, or someone who made the decision to make the change, to give us and sort of their supporters in non-league some sort of explanation.
The chairman in his statement said it had been a costly and unsettling period at the club. And he also spoke about that they had a left-back who's a real fan's favourite, Michael Green. He left the club right. Just 2 weeks ago, and he's been brought back today as well. So Hill's come
well,
back
that tells in. That tells you it's been dressing room orientated. And you know, when you employ a manager, you know, I'm guessing that the chairman didn't actually, you know, he must have met Martin and sat down and discussed what they'd seen and how it was going to move forward. And I think once you do that, you then have to give the power to the manager. And if the manager feels it's right to get rid of a fan's favourite, then the chairman has to back him on that. Otherwise, what's the point in getting him in the first place?
The statement goes on. So this is the statement that was on the website. It's important the decision made regarding a replacement manager is considered and thorough. The club need more football expertise to ensure we give ourselves the best chance of future success and progression. Therefore, the club have appointed previous manager Richard Hill with immediate effect to assist and give the club much needed guidance. He'll add the relevant experience and manage the team through this next period. In the longer term, Richard will evaluate and manage all footballing aspects of the club, including selecting a replacement manager. That's stunned
okay,
you both.
Well, to be fair, all I'm saying is that why did he get rid of Richard then? Is it all of a sudden he's okay again?
No, I was going to say, I was just thinking about what Dave said a minute ago. What can you say? There's no surprises in football, is there? You know, put aside shocks, but I'm not surprised that they've turned to someone they've been with before. Clubs do it all the time in non-league, actually, don't they? I think Great Waker in Rovers, sorry, just jump a little bit here, they sacked their manager, Richard Wilson, this week, and they put Ian O'Connell, who you might know, Dave, back in charge, and I think he was the manager there a couple of years ago. So, have you ever been reappointed at one of your former clubs, Dave?
Are you serious? No, I've been to here. Sorry, I was at Harrow on three different occasions, but only one as manager. So I've been back to one club, but I just find it, you know, I just find it, and I suppose because we're guessing and we're shooting in the dark because we haven't got a clue. But until we do have a clue, it just sounds bizarre.
Well, I mean, Hill, when he actually left Eastleigh originally, said it was with a heavy heart and it was because of a string of poor results then too. So it was more him going at the time. So maybe he feels like he's gained since then, wants to come back and sort things out. So that's Eastleigh. We will garner more information on that, no doubt, over the next few weeks. And then, Mr. Waters, King's Lynn have got a new boss.
Yeah, indeed. They got rid of Gary Setchell on yesterday. They drew, I think it was their 16th draw of the season. Basically, King's Lynn Town, big club, as you know. They've got ambitions for the Football League even. They're not going to get there now this season. They're mid-table. So they've sacked him and they've brought in someone I think most of us of a certain age will know, Ian Culverhouse, who was at Norwich many years, a defender, and Swindon. Started at Tottenham, actually, my first love. He made two appearances there, apparently. I was looking him up earlier on. But he was installed this afternoon and will take charge for the first time at Hitchin on Saturday. So that's quite a big change there, because Setchell had been, you know, is well thought of. He took the club when it reformed the Linnets in 2010. He's been in charge ever since. Won promotion in the United Counties League. They were in the Northern Premier League, obviously, for a while, where he won the title to go up to step three in the pyramid. And obviously, they were switched a couple of years ago back over to the Southern League. But he's run out of time, basically. So best of luck to him. You know, they paid tribute to him, but the chairman there, they've got a new chairman who was appointed this year, and he said, we can't wait any longer. So they bought the clubhouse.
So that's what's happened today.
Be a manager? That's all I can say. Who would want to be a manager, Dave?
Well, Dave Anson. We're going to talk to one who's been pretty successful over the past week and beyond that too. Paul Doswell, Sutton Boss, joins us now. Hiya, Paul.
Hi, Caroline. You okay?
Yeah. Who'd want to be a manager, eh? Says Dave Waters.
Well, I've done 530 games for Sutton now, so someone must want to do it.
Yeah, too right.
Special, Paul, to be fair.
Well, I was going to say, when it culminates in playing Arsenal in the FA Cup, it must be a mad week. Have your feet touched the ground yet?
It's been mad since the Wimbledon replay, to be fair. You know, it's been a month almost of constant, because the Leeds game sort of came 2 weeks after Wimbledon and then the Arsenal game sort of 3 weeks after that. So the club's been under, you know, a lot of strain the last 5 or 6 weeks, and they've coped with it, I think, admirably. Culminating in, you know, what was a brilliant performance from the lads on Monday night.
We will, of course, get to what's happened in the day since then in a moment, Paul. But on the pitch, did you have a sneaky feeling? I mean, there were a couple of chances that you thought, well, if that's gone in, could have gone 1-0 up, and opportunities that did happen in the match.
I think reality is when we saw their, you know, when we saw their starting lineup, and I started putting it on the board. You know, we knew it was going to be a tough night. We worked really hard on the Saturday about when we were going to press them and the shape that we were going to keep. And like I said, I thought the players were magnificent. They stuck to the plan, and say we created three very, very good chances, didn't we? Jamie Collins had a 1-0 down, and then Rory hits the bar at 2-0 down. So, you know, the reality was it was too much for us, and it was always going to be too much for us. But what a wonderful night for the club and for the players.
Until they scored, and I thought there was an element of luck to their goal. I'm a Sutton boy. It was the first club I ever covered as a reporter. I thought you were doing brilliantly, actually. And I was thinking, right, you know, are they going to go on and either sneak a win here or draw? And after that, you carried on playing so well. And just to hog it for a little bit longer, I mean, you must have read Arsene Wenger's comments or spoke to him afterwards. But he was so complimentary about your team. You know, he said you did not drop physically. They remained focused. They were so organised, and you had the hunger and desire. And I just thought he really summed up the team really well. I thought in his after match comments.
I mean, one of the lovely words he used at the end was, and it got reported, was astonishing. And I think that's what the lads were. I think, as you said, it was the physical levels that they needed to cope with as well. And you know, for a team that is still 2 days a week, and we are a traditional non-league club. You know, for them to be able to put that effort in for the whole 90, and then to see Sanchez and Walcott come on after 60 minutes, you know, and Jamie Collins just laughed at me. You know, it was almost like him and Simon just started laughing. So, you know, there's some humour in there as well, but ultimately, you know, we tried to get the game down into smaller segments, sort of work every 15 minutes, and if we could be at 0-0 after 15 and so on and so on. And, you know, like I said, it was a cross shot from Perez. I'm not convinced it was a shot for goal, but, you know, Walcott obviously stepped over it. It'd have been offside otherwise, I think. You know, and the second goal obviously killed the game, but at 1-0 up to 60 minutes, we were in with a shout, weren't we?
Yeah. Hi, Paul, it's Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, mate. I, to be fair, I thought he brought Sanchez on as a compliment to you, nearly. You know, I think that they probably felt they could have seen the game out, but I thought it was nearly like a sort of compliment to the game and the occasion. But, you know, listen, I've got the short straw with this one, in as much as a football manager, you know, I obviously want to speak to you about Wayne Shaw and the whole thing that nearly taken away the occasion. But as a football manager, to a football manager, when were you aware of anything? Were you aware of anything before the game, Paul?
No, I wasn't aware, Dave, until I did the written press, which was half an hour after the game. My wife got the invite to see Gary Lineker, which is all she cared about, really. So I took Kate in to see Gary Lineker and Shearer and Martin Keown, and we spent some time with them, and that was very nice. And then I was taken across to the written press, and one of the press asked me one of the first questions, you know, what do you think of the goalkeeper in the tie? And at the time, you know, I thought that was just a reference to, you know, to that only being the issue. It wasn't until I got home and woke up in the morning that I found out what the actual issue was, which was, it was, you know, done as a publicity stunt almost for the paper, I think.
Yeah, and what was your reaction then, Paul, as a football manager?
Imagine what it was, Dave.
I can't, Paul, but you know, I'm always interested in other people's slant on it, you know.
My slant wouldn't have been any different to yours, let's put it that way. You know, I was disappointed. I was disappointed that made us look unprofessional. If you're talking purely football now, you know,
yes,
we try to do everything we can do professionally within the budget we've got. And it's the first time in my managerial career that anyone's eaten a pie behind. So that gives you an idea of our side of it. But to then subsequently find out what had been done and what's gone on, again, it's maybe disappointing. He's a good friend of mine, but you know, Wayne's got this schoolboy humour. You know, I remember him once setting off a stink bomb in the boardroom and just crying with laughter because he thought it was funny. And you know, he's got this sense of humour that, and I think he hasn't got any filter with it sometimes. And you know, he got swept along, didn't he, with a roly-poly bit.
Yeah.
Self-proclaimed as well. And you know, we had no issues with it. He was getting more press than any of the players at one point, and they didn't, you know, they went into it for that, really, Dave. Has it taken it away from them? Maybe, but listen, no one can take away the fact that they played that type of Arsenal team, and you know, we're into training tomorrow, and it won't even be mentioned, if I'm being honest.
No, and to be fair, Paul, I think it's taken it away for a couple of days, but it certainly won't take it away, the whole run. I mean, you know, last one really for me on it, and it is a manager thing, Paul, and I mean that. You know, what happened? You've obviously spoke to Wayne. Can we ask you what happened when you spoke to him?
Yeah, I spoke to him obviously the following morning, because there was nothing that I was aware of during the evening itself. And of course, as you can imagine, it was absolute chaos at the club all night long, and I never saw Wayne from literally the minute the whistle went until I went home. Obviously then I put my phone on at about 11, because I got back very late, and obviously the storm clouds were approaching, and then the phone was like a nuclear phone from that point on. It was red hot, and I rang Wayne up, you know, and you know, just said to him, look, you know, this is the situation that you put us in, this is where it's at. And he didn't appreciate it at all. And this is, you know, this is where he's coming from. He didn't appreciate at all the seriousness of it. You know, and he just sort of banter, Dave. And you know, it was an unfortunate thing that he did, and it's had consequences.
How's it affected how you'll remember this game, Paul?
Spoke to the chairman today, and obviously the last 2 days have been, you know, awful for me and Bruce. You know, I think we did so much good work bending over backwards for everybody, PR-wise, press-wise, and he did every interview that you were asked to. And I think both him and I literally gave up work for a month. And, you know, in fairness, Tuesday was supposed to be the day that we all relaxed and enjoyed it and then started getting back into our little normal world. And, you know, my Tuesday was horrendous yesterday from start to finish, and it hasn't been massively better today. But, you know, at the end of the day, Bruce and I spoke this afternoon. You know, we talked about, we should focus only on the positives from now on. And there's been so many positives that, you know, I'd be a liar if I said to you that I haven't gone through it the last couple of days. It's been, it's been horrendous, really.
Yeah, I'd like to just add to this, you know, that fair play to you, Paul, for coming on here and discussing it with us, because I know lots of managers who wouldn't, who would try and ignore it and move on. And I think that it's sort of, it lets the non-league, the non-league world know you anyway. But you've always been like that. You've always fronted it up. And I think, you know, you come out of it and your team comes out of it with massive respect. But coming on to do this, it just adds the respect that I have for you. And I appreciate it.
I think the thing is, Dave, is that I did it yesterday for the club. You know, Bruce isn't comfortable. You know, I had to do the Sky News bit, which, you know, he came to my house to do it. I had to do the Sky Sports News bit because, you know, clearly the statement wanted it. You know, the club wanted to make an early statement on the basis of we know the facts, and you know, there's no point in suspending Wayne. It was a question of asking him what he wanted to do, whether he wanted to resign, and he did. You know, he understood he'd put the club in a position. He didn't mean to do that. But as soon as that news broke, you know, I mean, I think at one point it was trending more than Donald Trump for once. So, you know, the reality was that what we've done today is started to say to people, look, I said to everyone today, because I did enough yesterday, and I just said, look, you know, I'm trying to get some work done now, that's enough, and I've said enough, I don't need to comment anymore, but I felt it was right that I speak to you guys, because, you know, we're all non-league family together, and, you know, I was quite happy to come and speak to you guys, but that's, after that, that's pretty much, I think, for us, it should be episode closed, because,
sure.
You know, I know there's a big thing coming out tomorrow for Ryan, and you know, I think he's certainly doing something with the paper, and you know, the reporting will continue from that paper for a few weeks or so. But you know, from our perspective, we want normality again, and that, you know, that means all of us just getting down and playing Torquay and Bournemouth with Tuesday, and you know, just being that good non-league club that we are.
And it's now, Paul, about looking what this fantastic run will have done for the club, isn't it? Yeah, we all saw those images with Bruce talking about, right, we're going to fix that roof. He speaks about wanting to give some money back to you for the pitches and what you've done for the club too. How can you use this now as a foundation? And what do you think ultimately it will mean for you this season, the next, say, five seasons as a club?
Well, I think one of my aims, you know, from sort of falling in love with Sutton was to build foundations for the future anyway. So, funny enough, that's what Bruce and I were talking about today. We feel that the foundations, you know, have already been built. And what we now need to do is go and, you know, start building the house right the way up. And that just means really making it, you know, making it more appropriate when you come in for the dressing rooms and the, you know, even the toilets for the supporters, and just the silly things, really. Fixing the roof. But the main thing that we're going to put it into is the classrooms and the dressing rooms for our under-12s to 16s, because currently they haven't got anywhere to shower unless they use the first team dressing rooms. And we've got 100 academy children starting at our place in September in the school year start, so we need dressing rooms and changing rooms for them. And you know what I've tried to do for a long time now is grow the club by the community, and that will be done through getting more and more young people involved up there. And that's the basis of where the club will grow. You know, the season ticket offer clearly, you know, has worked unbelievably well for us. And that's going to continue, you know, cheap season tickets to attract families to come and watch the game for a fiver. And like I said, you know, if you take the bigger picture for years to come, you know, I think you'll look back, you'll see a new stand, you know, you're going to be sort of see some new stands up there. You're going to see, the pitch has now been paid off. So we're in a unbelievable position of having no debt and having probably 250 grand in the bank for the days that your boiler does pack up, and you know, the bad day where you know, the days of having to find 2 grand, 3 grand at the end of the month have probably gone to them for the foreseeable future.
Which is all it's about, creating a sustainable club. With one eye kind of closed and through gritted teeth, I'm going to get Watters to ask a question He's probably going to ask you whether you want one of the stands named after you, but go on, Waters.
No, not really. Paul, I'd just like to say that I've, you know, been in and out of that club for many years, and I already thought it was in a fantastic condition, and all the work you'd done, even last summer, I was at a Lucas Vets Cup final there, and I was looking around the pitch and the stands and what you've done down the far end. All right, there's a few leaks and stuff, but you've done a great job already. And I, what I want to see next season is see what your crowds, I know they're already on the up anyway, but you really have put something on the map. There's all this Piegate and stuff, and all, but that won't be remembered in years to come. And I think you're going to see many more young people and stuff coming down to the club. But just to get to my little question then, I know you won't be unhappy about this, because I think you were bigging up Rory Deacon on the TV the other night. I was watching. I couldn't get a ticket like a lot of people. And you were saying, you know, you couldn't believe that, you know, League One clubs and that, League Two, even higher, you know, hadn't come in for him yet. And I've seen elsewhere, you know, obviously you wouldn't want to stand in anyone's way, but you must have an awful lot. Have you had any interest that, you know, do you think you might lose a few of your players now for their great, you know, for the great run that they've helped the club to?
Well, I think if you know what our ethos is at the football club, it's to get hold of these young players that, you know, perhaps for whatever reason have lost their way. And Craig Eastman and Roy Deacon come in that category. We get hold of them and look after them, and we give them a platform to go and play again. We're not pretending that Wheatley or Forest Green or anyone trying to win this league. It's, if a player does well and he gets a chance to move, then they'll be allowed to move from our football club. It's as simple as that. And it's a badge of honour for us. We sold Dan. People don't even talk about it. We sold Dan Wishart this year, Ross Stern and Tom Bolinara. You know, so we lost three of our best players this year as well. And there's every chance that we'll lose Deacon, and he'll go with our blessing. And what I've got to do is make sure that I get the next Rory Deacon in. You know, that's something which, again, I sort of pride myself on, is my black book. And I've got some very good people around me, people like Jamie Lawrence, who, you know, is a mentor, I think, for a lot of these younger players in London. And Jamie recommends, you know, he's recommended Eastman to me. I have to have a certain mentality for Jamie to recommend him as well. And he recommended Eastman, he recommended Deacon. And, you know, you've got a little, I think you've got to trust certain people in football, and Jamie Lawrence is one of those people that you respect his opinion. Not so much on just on the football side, but the fact that he absolutely drills these guys to death. So mentally, to go to Jamie, you've got a winner to want to go to see him. And, you know, I can't announce it just yet, but we're signing two great players, over the next couple of days, and one of them, you know, certainly will be in the Rory category. And if Rory stays, it's great, because we've got two. And if Rory goes, then he'll be the next one that will slip in behind Rory. And again, it's another, you know, it's another Jamie Lawrence, Paul Doswell sort of situation, that, you know, that I think will give that guy another chance to get back on the platform he wants to get.
Paul, we'll let you go, but really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for giving us some time, and try and enjoy the rest of this week and what will happen from here on in. You've built those foundations, as you were saying.
I'll be bloody miserable if we lose. So it's one of those situations that's arisen, sort of big enough and old enough now to sort of get on with it. I'm looking forward to meeting Piers Morgan in the street, but apart from that, I'm fine. You know, he's one of the few people I take very little notice of, to be honest. But the one thing that I've learned through all this is probably you know, how people. So vitriolic, not towards me, by the way, just vitriolic on social media and Facebook and Twitter, and it's a sad indictment of the world we live in, because I don't Twitter, I don't Facebook, I don't do anything, but it seems people's worlds are revolving around it, and it's a shame. I really think that people stop talking now, and you know, they've reverted to just being trolls behind an internet
keyboard warriors. Paul, thank you, and we will catch up with you later in the season, and all the best to Bruce and everyone at the club as well. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, cheers, Paul.
Thanks very much.
Good luck, Paul.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Paul. Paul Doswell, manager at Sutton, talking about what has been, for all different reasons, an incredible week for them as well, and one where they'll be hoping the limelight dies down. Reading some of the fans' messages, just saying on social media, but just saying, you know, now back to the league, let's get on with it, and just enjoy for what the moment was.
Yeah, and I think I thought when I said, what was your reaction? And he said, probably similar to yours. Well, I think the people who have listened to this show over the years will absolutely know what my reaction would have been to it. So, yeah. I'm really disappointed in as much as that it's taken a bit of the shine off for them. But you have to compliment them in coming on and speaking to us and speaking to us about it. You know, he knew we were going to ask him about it, and he didn't say. Some people go, "Oh, come on, but don't ask me about it." He gave us our place to, and so onwards and upwards, you know. And he just comes out of it, as does the club. I think they've dealt with it properly. They come out of it with dignity, and to be fair, the guy involved, I think, was just caught in the headlights, and we all do stupid stuff when we're in the headlights, Kaz. So,
what it has done has raised the question again of whether non-league clubs in particular need a bit more support when it comes to areas around betting or advice in these situations, and in particular with shirt sponsors, with other sponsors attached to big games too. And it's something we touched on last week. I heard a suggestion on one phone-in, don't take this as whether this is an idea that will catch on or not, but that maybe when it gets to a certain stage and you've got a big non-league team in it, that maybe the FA should turn around and say, this pot of money that we've got to promote some of our charity work or to do X, Y, and Z, you know, they'll have a pot of money for doing promotion, PR promotion for that. That maybe that's what goes on the front of a shirt when you get to that.
Yeah,
stage.
I tell you what I think, Kaz. I think that, you know, and that's probably right, but you know, it's always the club and the people within the club that are accountable. I'd like the FA to say to the people involved on the other side, you're not going to be allowed to sponsor. We're not going to involve you in this or that. And, you know, in a way, this lad's been set up by people who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I
just think that they should be accountable for their actions as well. Because
the FA are investigating it as we speak. There's no suggestion, although of course people have alluded to the fact whether it was a setup or not. But let's wait and see what comes out of the investigation.
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's talk just about Lincoln, shall we?
Just one last thing. Your idea that you had on that phone in, one other thing the FA could do actually is when clubs get to this kind of stage, they could just, you know, they could help the club physically by saying, right, we're going to lend you, you know, our press officer and a marketing man or lady, whatever, you know, send a little team down to the club, you know, to help them deal with the press, to help them deal with these issues like this. You know,
good idea.
Circumstances. You know, they've got the staff there, haven't they? And that's what the FA is there for.
Let's talk Lincoln City then.
Yep.
We were hoping to talk to Bob Dorian, who's the chairman at Lincoln. He's away in South Africa, actually missed their triumphant win over Burnley at the weekend, historic win over Burnley. They will now, of course, there was a possibility they could face Sutton, but they will now face Arsenal away as history makers. And we can talk to Trizimp, at Trizimp. I'm not going to call you your proper name. I'm just going to call you at Trizimp because we've been talking about social media and keyboard warriors. You are not one of those, I hasten
absolutely
to add.
Not. I think I should be called acting chairman, shouldn't I, tonight?
You are acting on behalf of the chairman. You answered your phone for us. Yeah, all right then. And my voice went a little bit funny then. I apologise. It was just the excitement of talking to you. What has this week been like then for you as a Lincoln fan?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I mean, I spoke to David a week about the draw and being slightly disappointed with the Burnley draw. I can tell you now I'm very happy because the Arsenal draw.
Very good.
I'll tell you what you won't find. You won't find me eating a pie at the ground. Have you seen the prices at the Emirates?
That's true.
You won't see a Lincoln fan eating a pie at the Emirates, I can assure you.
Do you know the one thing I noticed about the whole week was the fact that Lincoln went to North Ferriby and won. I can't tell you how hard that must have been to get the players motivated, to get them sort of up and running and get an importance on the game, which it is.
Awesome.
But I think it says masses about what's going on in the dressing room.
Well, Danny Cowley said that, didn't he, Tris? He said that this was their biggest match of the season.
Yeah, he says that after every game, which is brilliant. And Sean Raggett, who scored the winner against Burnley, said that as well in the post-match interview. They were sort of saying, how big is this? What are you going to do to celebrate? And he said, we have an hour and the most important game is Tuesday night in North Ferriby. And
even when the managers were on Match of the Day, that's what they kept talking about, North Ferriby. I felt for the pundits, they were sort of looking as if to say, what's a North Ferriby? And I think that seems to be the problem as well. These poor old pundits are having to research.
Haven't you won all your, you know, during this run, you've had great results, haven't you? I'm probably going to catch me out now, but after each of your cup wins, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We lost to Barrow in the new year, and then before that, Guiseley on Boxing Day, but the unbeaten run goes on, and it is that sort of mentality. And this, you only get an hour to celebrate, you only get a half hour to celebrate, and then it's on to the next game. And with the squad that we've got at the minute and with the competition we've got, I think if you did take your eye off the ball and you did sort of think about the next game, I think the managers would stop you and put somebody else in your place. I think that's why they're trying to keep them focused.
And you've got our old player at Chelmsford, Joe Ward, as well, looking like he's doing well for you at the moment too. So as you say, you've got that strength as well and depth. North Ferriby, you owe them a little pat on the back. Did you hear this line from their match secretary that Arsenal rang up asking if they could send scouts to watch the match, but we had to tell them they were full? Where are we going to put you? You see that line?
Yeah, but yeah, I didn't hear that. But what's been interesting is the game before the FA Cup games, we've either drawn or scraped a win, so we've not played particularly well. So the scouts must go to those games and think, oh, they're not that much to write home about. So they kind of underestimate us before we play them. So before the Burnley game, it was a 3-2 against Woking, and it was a real sort of scrappy game. So we kind of lead them into a false sense of security.
For those that don't know all that much about the recent history of the club, Tris, I remember Bob Dorrin talking about, say, 4 or 5 years ago, that it was touch and go, where financially they were going to get money from to survive. And this, it must be, what, over £1 million now that's come in.
Once the Arsenal game's done, it would be about £2.5 million in total. Sorry to cut you off.
Incredible.
Wow.
So how's that streets away from where the club was? Can you remember those moments, what it was like? You know, obviously relegation down to non-league.
Yeah, the relegation, even the beginning of this season, the bank, I won't name them, the bank said, you've got an overdraft of £400,000 and we want you to pay it back in a fortnight.
Yeah.
And they basically said, we don't have that kind of money. So it was, even at the beginning of this season, touch and go. But over the last few years, since relegation, it's been really difficult. You go from a solidarity payment in the Football League of nearly £750,000 down to a tenth of that. And what happens, and it happens to a lot of ex-Football League clubs, and we don't want sympathy for it, but your community club kind of gets dismantled. They take away your reserve team, take away all your paid staff. You then have to get volunteers in, and it just, almost the infrastructure of your club kind of gets taken out when you get relegated. And you're trying to run a full-time team with sort of volunteers and with less sort of income. And Lincoln's not one of these clubs that's got hotels and pubs and restaurants. They rely on match income.
Oh, Mr. Acting Chair, one more for me, if you don't mind, mate. I've got to ask you about the Cowley brothers. You referred to Match of the Day, first of all, earlier. I thought they were fantastic on there. Every interview I've seen with them, they've come across so well, so professional. You know, you want to bring them home to your mum and dad, whatever. They're lovely lads, but they've done the business on the pitch. So the million-dollar question for me really is, how long do you think you can hold on to them for?
I think how we finish this season will be the most important. If we go up, we've got a slightly better chance of keeping them.
Yeah.
If we don't go up this year, we'll lose them. What will happen is a club in the sort of the southeast area, nearer to where their sort of family is and where they're based, a Gillingham or a Colchester or something like that comes in on good money, then I could see us losing them. But if we go up, I think they'll want to finish the job. I mean, we've had offers from people like Notts County and stuff. And what's really interesting with the Cowleys is whenever they've left a club, they don't leave mid-season. Because what they do is they put a lot of focus into pre-season and getting it right and getting the ethos and getting the players and the recruitment and the attitude of the players. That I can't see them ever being one of these managers that will jump ship halfway through a season.
No.
Yeah,
I agree.
Totally, yeah. Which is a testament to the lads, isn't it?
There was talk, actually, before they came to take your job about them going to Colchester before, John McGrill in there now, isn't it? But before he got the job too, so... There's kind of been whispers and rumours about that, but I think you're right. I think go up, you'll be fine, and they'll and they'll stay. Loyal boys, loyal boys. Tris, go and enjoy what you're going to do between now and Arsenal. What happens between now and Arsenal? At least you should be able to get a ticket.
Well, hopefully. I say what happens between now and Arsenal is I keep going on the ticket site and keep refreshing and hopefully getting a ticket. But I don't think 9,000 will be enough. I think we'll try and push for 12.
Well, I would imagine that they will let you have that 12, although don't come back to me if they don't. Tris, it is a pleasure. Yeah. And I'm delighted for you as a fan and as someone that's lived, breathed, seen the bad times, now seeing the good times too. And who would bet against them going to Arsenal and at least pulling off a draw and getting a replay? That's going to be the ideal.
I think if they picked the team they picked against Sutton, no offence to Sutton, we'd have a chance because I think they almost underestimated Sutton.
Yeah.
It was only with the changes that they made with the Sanchez's and I think Walcott sort of ran them into the ground with a full-time, part-time position. But if they picked a similar team against Lincoln, I'd fancy it.
No, I wouldn't disagree with you, but why would I anyway? At Tris Imp on social media, he's well worth a follow and he's not one of those warriors. Thanks for coming on the show, Tris.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Bye.
Off he goes with his acting chairman's medal. I don't know if you get one if you're an acting chairman. I'd quite like a little badge on a lapel, maybe, if I was acting chairman.
I was just going to say, Kaz, you know, as much as I don't like sort of going to do the radio at the weekends, if you want me to go and cover the Arsenal Lincoln game, then I will do it.
Wembley, the Emirates, all that. You're a big shot now, though.
Yeah, too good for us. Always was, arguably. We'll hopefully talk about the trophy in the moment because Lincoln, of course, still in the trophy. If we had one of the Cowleys on, they've had too much exposure this week. I don't want them getting all big time, so we didn't want to get them on. But if we had Danny or Nicky on, Dave, how to keep rolling on to the next competition, like you said, how to keep getting those wins under the belts.
I think, and to be fair, I've taxed Danny sort of before and after each of the cup ties. And this time he got back to me about, I think it was Monday night, and he just said, "Dave, really sorry it's taken this long, but you can imagine the chaos that's going on around them." But I think within all of it, that they're nearly in the eye of the storm. They look calmer and more calculated and more, I don't know, they just have taken it all in their stride. And Dave's right. When I've heard him interviewed, they've got they're humble with it. You know, they've just hit every nail on the head, absolutely perfectly. You know, so if that's where they are publicly, you can bet behind the scenes they're absolutely on it as well. And league, I would say the league, yes, league and trophy double. I wonder what the odds are on that.
Well, they're away to Boreham. You wanted to say something. They're away to Boreham Wood this weekend. Go on, Dave.
No, I wasn't actually. I could add things. No, I'd love to sit that. They could do the league and trophy double. What I was going to say a minute ago, actually, to be honest, was I'd forgotten they were in the trophy as well. And they were, they're in the last eight or whatever of that. So.
Yeah, phenomenal, really, when you think about it. Well, like I say, that's having beaten North Ferriby during the week to then go to Boreham Wood and to pull off a result again this weekend will be something extra special. And again, everyone else around the country then looking at them as potential managers. There's other matches this weekend. York at home to Brackley, Tranmere at home to Barrow. And in the final game, one club hoping to emulate Lincoln's underdog cup success. From the Ryman Prem, Dulwich Hamlet entertain Macclesfield Town. Gavin Rose, their boss, joins us now. Hiya, Gavin.
How you doing? You okay?
I'm all right. Do you see yourself as underdogs? How's this week been?
Yeah, clearly we're underdogs. We're playing against a top team in non-league football in Macclesfield. But we've prepared as normal as we normally would, game to game.
I said it, you're hoping to do a Lincoln. Are they inspiring? I know my team, Chelmsford, and it failed miserably for us, and maybe you don't want to say this, but Rod Stringer, our boss, said that he was hoping to maybe take on some of that spirit of Lincoln when we were in the trophy. Is it something that the Cowley brothers are inspiring?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I know Dan and very well, obviously. We've come up against each other over the years, and what they've done this season, even last season, has been fantastic. I suppose opened the eyes up for many in non-league that it can be achieved. So, yeah, definitely inspiring.
Go on, Dave Anson.
Yeah, Mr. Rose, it's been a long, long time. But talking about people you've come up against. But I was going to say about yourselves, Gav. You know, you've been there a while now. You've played great stuff. You know, any time we've sort of played against you, I've always complimented you after getting beat, which isn't something I do normally. But you'll vouch for that. But where do you feel you are now? You know, because you're sitting just outside the playoffs yet again, up in that sort of the top of the division. Where do you really feel you are? And now we're after Christmas. Have you got the push to get in there outside of the trophy?
Yeah, I think we have. I think we started slowly this season, which is not normally like us. We normally start like a trainer and tire out. But I think we've got a role reverse this year, whereas we're starting to built some momentum over the last 2-3 months in all cup competitions and the league. And it feels like we're getting into our best form now. So I'm pretty confident that we can make a push for the playoffs.
Is Junior Caddy still with you, Gav?
He is, of course. Yeah, he is. Junior's there, still with us, and he's been fantastic as normal.
That's been a real good partnership, hasn't it, the 2 years over the years?
Oh, fantastic. It started off, obviously, with our academy about 15 years ago whilst we were still playing. And obviously, we know each other inside out, are family, friends as well off the pitch now. And he's been great for me equally. Anything anyone says I've done well, then he's equally just as important, you know. So it's been fantastic.
Give him my regards, mate.
I will do, Dave. Cheers.
This is Friends Reunited, which I'm quite enjoying.
Well, I spoke to you for a while, Kaz. I do apologise.
you should apologise to him for not calling.
Yeah.
What's the ultimate ambition for you, Gavin, then? So you look at this, you've tested yourself against Braintree in the last round. You beat them 5-2. We know that they've had their problems this season, but, of course, they're a couple of leagues above you. This current... Yeah. crop of players that you've got, and for you as a manager, where can they go? What's the level they can reach?
I think we've got some players who have sort of fallen out of professional football, and some have played at the Conference South and some Conference football as well. So we've got a decent crop of players, to be honest with you. And the hardest thing is to, as David probably knows, to be consistent in the Ryman League, which is quite a competitive league.
Yeah.
But on a one-off game, we've got players who are good enough to sort of compete against national league sides and not embarrass themselves at all. And I think, obviously, this year, that's been proven. And for myself and the club, obviously, the trophy's been a great adventure, and we want to see how far we can get in it, of course. But I think the main thing is to try and do well in the league and try and get the club promoted.
I know that the Watters wants to talk to you about the ground, but we were talking earlier to Paul Doswell, obviously boss at Sutton, and he was saying about how they like to get these players in, to turn them around as well. Maybe when they've maybe either hit a roadblock or things haven't gone right outside of football too. Obviously that's a cheaper route to go, isn't it? Which I can see in non-league. We used to do it as well, and that's it's a route that takes a lot of time and effort from you as a manager to invest in these people as human beings, ultimately, first and foremost. Is that a route you like to go?
Yeah, definitely. I think we started a football academy, like I said, 15 years ago, and it was much centred on what you just said. And I've known Doz as well over the years, and he's very much the same. Does try and sort of build people and build them on off the pitch, and we're pretty much in the same mould. Do try and get involved in players' lives off the pitch and find out how their minds are ticking. I know obviously it's a business they try to win football matches, but obviously they're still human beings, and we actually are quite interested in the human being as well, to try and build them up on and off the pitch. So yeah, I mean, obviously, there's different agendas at clubs. Some clubs haven't got the time for that, and they want to invest heavily and try and get success early or really soon. But I'm lucky that Dudley Hamlet and the ethos has really been about people and about the community, yeah. And I think that helps with the football club as well with the players.
That's the foundation, really, isn't it? And that's kind of in this week when we've been talking about maybe some of the negatives that have been shone on the game that we love too. It's just heartening, I guess. I'm going to get all sentimental, but that's what non-league football is about, isn't it? It is about that, creating that bedrock. Go on, Waters. You can talk about the hard and fast of building grounds.
I can. Thank you. All the interesting stuff from me. Well, Gavin, hopefully I can't mangle this question to you, mate. Dulwich have built up such a fantastic reputation in recent years while you've been there as a community club. I'm amazed. Every other week, you're doing something fantastic. You're doing something for the International Women's Day soon. You do everything down there. And your crowds are among the best in the Ryman League for a number of years now. Now, but you've got a problem, though, haven't you, with your local council? I think you've had this move. You want to move to the right next to the ground, don't you? And I think there's a big row going over planning permission without going all the details, and you're getting blocked at the moment. So they're holding you back, aren't they? And what are the club trying to do about it? You're trying to get all your fans to write to the council or something like that, aren't you?
I think all the supporters are on board. They obviously understand
the
club.
Yeah,
the club have sort of been moving in a direction where it's got bigger and bigger as the crowd has swelled, and obviously the performance of the pitch has been relatively good. So I think in order for the club to succeed and be able to continue, we need a stadium that actually is sustainable in terms of bringing in revenue streams, etc. If the current stadium, is hemorrhaging loads of bills and from prehistoric owners and stuff like that. So it's actually a little bit of a noose around the neck at the moment. So the council, I'm pretty sure, are sympathetic to it. I think it's just got to fit with them as well. So serving the community, bringing in the football stadium there, I don't know if there's local residents that would, they're worried about as well. So I think there will be movement, but it has taken a little bit of time. Everyone's been patient, but I think we're getting to the point now where everyone sort of wants to see some progression with the new site. It's like you say, sort of like holding it sort of 100 yards or 500 yards away, so it isn't a massive move. But obviously, I think there's some housing development involved as well, and obviously the council want to make sure that, they feel that everything's right and proper before giving it the go-ahead.
Gavin, we'll let you go. But thanks for coming on the show. Good luck this weekend. I believe in the underdog. If nothing else, the past couple of weeks have told us that's going to happen. So good luck. Definitely. Fingers crossed, and we'll keep an eye on you.
Thank you very much.
Not in a sinister way, as that sounded, yeah. Gavin, thanks for coming on. That's Gavin Rosie, the Dulwich boss, joining us too. But did someone just pass wind? What was that? Who belched?
That was not me.
Nor me.
You're just clearing your throat.
It's clearing my throat. I've a bit of man flu coming on, boss, but I didn't like to moan,
Well, I was going to say that's one way of saying goodbye to Gavin. I mean, you haven't spoken to him in years.
Listen, he's a great lad, and I apologise because it got a bit like a phone call, but I haven't spoke to him for a long time. They absolutely play the right way. It's a great stadium to go into. There's always a great atmosphere. Pitch is good. Friendly people, but manager, when a manager goes out the dressing room door and sits in the dugout, if you've done your homework, you have an idea of what the other side's going to do. And when you go to Dulwich that you have a hard day. You're going to have to work ever so hard to get anything. And when you get beat, the hardest thing in the world is to say well played. But I always found it easy there because they are genuinely entertaining. And I hope they do go up because their brand of football should be in the higher division.
Thank you, gentlemen. We will leave it there. There's plenty more stories, I'm sure, that we haven't discussed this week, but three lengthy interviews there that I think and I hope you'll enjoy with various people around the non-league game. And ultimately, that's what it's about. There has been perhaps some unwanted press this week, rightly or wrongly, for whatever's happened, whatever side of the fence you sit on it. But it is a game that we absolutely love, and we hope we don't maybe patronise in a way that maybe has been done this week too. The magic of the cup has been bought and built on non-league over the past few weeks as well. So here's hoping it continues in the trophy this weekend.
Dog, it's been the year of the underdog for us in non-league.
Which is why we let you broadcast still.
thank you,
Mr. Waters. Thank you, Mr. Anderson, too. Don't forget, you can be part of it too. You can contact us on Twitter. We are at Non-League Show. You can also find the show on audioboom.com. We're on iTunes, Stitcher and TuneIn Radio, which is hopefully where you've heard us. So do share us with your friends. And if you want, you can have the show on your website for free. Just head to nonleaguefootballshow.com where you can get an embeddable player. Thank you again. Have a lovely week and goodbye.
JIBBA JABBA Production. JIBBA JABBA.